So I set before you a goal for this year, where we're going in our studies, and I'm asking you to join me in this direction. And I took that from Philippians 3:14, where the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to forget what's behind me, and I'm going to actively pursue what is ahead of me. And so we talked about what it meant that to follow Jesus is not just to sit here and hang on and wait. To actively pursue something. This is a very active thing. And my prayer, my hope, is that this year in our faith and here at Sunrise, that we will be seen more actively pursuing Christ in every aspect of our lives. I hope that it's just a biblical shake of the shoulders. Just to kind of wake us up, get us going, and wherever we are each at, that we are moving forward. And last Sunday, we saw the strength that God provides in enabling us to do all of these things and to fulfill His purposes. And if we do not have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we are not going to have the strength to be able to fulfill this goal of pursuing Him and where He is at. Now, I don't know about you. If you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk about it. But these past 2 weeks, I have been actively pursuing God in a better way. And what I have learned is that God is opening my eyes to the areas of my life where I have not been actively pursuing Him the way I should, and that has been a painful process. The enemy has said, I got you comfortable, and now you are declaring that you do not want to be comfortable, and so now we got to fight. So, if you're in a fight, hey, talk to me after. We'll pray together. We'll pray together, because I am now in a fight, just saying these things out loud. And if you join me, you may be in a fight as well. Let's fight together, okay? This year is going to take some fighting together. This morning, we're going to take a look at how Jesus defines actively pursuing Him. And we're going to need the joy of the Lord. We are going to need the purpose of moving forward. And then we're going to see how Jesus defines it, describes it, and lets us know exactly what it looks like, because I think sometimes we decide what actively pursuing God looks like in our lives, and then we just settle for that. And so we're going to hear Jesus define it so that we make sure we're living up to what He has called us to, not what we allow ourselves to. So as we pray together in with humble hearts and realizing that to be active as Christians, to be active followers of Jesus, and to be active as a congregation, and to be active as a church together, this is a fight. This is a declaration of we are not satisfied with the borders and walls that we have created, but instead we are trying to be faithful and get into the enemy's kingdom. So, it is a fight. It's a fight in here. It's a fight here. And it's a fight out there. And if you and I fight alone, we are going to get hurt. We are going to get hurt. So, let us go to our Father in prayer and ask for the joy and strength that we need for this fight. Our Father in heaven, we humble our hearts before You. We bow our heads before Your throne. And we know, Lord, well, we praise You because You have sent us a great high priest that was able to taste life, just like we live it, and was able to live His life without sin and coming to completion by His obedience to death. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want our lives and we want Your church here to be in active pursuit of our goal. Lord, that's our aim this year. And we need you to fill us with you. Lord, we confess to you that we get comfortable here in this world. We confess to you that we get lazy in our own spiritual walk. We confess to you, Father, that maybe it's just been a while, that we've just been hanging out at a rest stop. And we've decided that the journey is no longer active or worthy of pursuit. Father, I pray that you forgive us and fill our hearts with joy so that we will be strong enough to complete our journey. Father, we love you so much. And we are grateful to be able to celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus. We are grateful that you have put eternity in our hearts. We are grateful to have you as Lord and Savior. We are grateful to have each other and know that we are not alone in this. So, Father, I ask that you bind us together and let us achieve your purposes together. And this morning, as we see how your Son teaches us to actively pursue, Father, as we do this, I pray that you give us strength. I pray, Lord, that we will not be satisfied with where we are. And I pray, Lord, that you do protect us from the evil one, that we will trust you and know that what you have put in our hearts is greater than the one in this world. Blessed be your name forever, for all time, and over everyone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, Jesus describes for us what it looks like to actively pursue him. Go down to verse 23. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." All right, so Jesus himself defines what it looks like to actively pursue him. He gives us three main points this morning. You know that I'm not really a big three-point guy, but when Jesus does it, I'm going to follow the pattern. But he does give us three main points that we can focus on. He says, you are going to do these three things to actively pursue your goal. And the first one is renounce yourself. To actively pursue Christ, first and foremost, we have to renounce ourselves. Now, renounce, this word, it used to be, I guess, in fashion that churches or religious groups or speakers would publicly renounce something. We, in the name of Jesus, we renounce this evil thing. And you knew exactly where someone stood. Whoa, okay, they're against that. Right? We don't do a lot of renouncing these days. Right? We just kind of, yeah, okay, well, this is going on and that's going on and we'll avoid some of that mess and we'll stay out of that fight. We don't want to step on any toes. We just want to live our lives faithfully. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, if you are going to actively pursue my steps, first and foremost, you must renounce yourself. To renounce means to declare something as nothing or even as an enemy. So Jesus says the first thing you got to do is confess, admit to yourself and everyone around you, it's not about me. I renounce myself. This life that God has given me is for him. It's not for me. I renounce myself. Ben read for us in Luke chapter 14, and we'll turn over there real quick. It seems some of the words that he uses here, that Jesus used here in chapter 14, they kind of go along with what he said in chapter 9. But Jesus kind of puts it in perspective of our family. Now, as you hear those words, they just sound kind of harsh, right? If anyone's going to come after me and they don't hate their family, they can't do it. Now, again, you've heard all the lessons of what, you know, this word means and how it's defined and how it's used. And so we get into the, and you've been a part of the, well, hate is love less. And we're Christians. We don't hate anybody. We just love some things more or less than others. And when we hear Jesus say, look, you claim to follow me and you claim to love me, but you have to love me more than your family. And at first go, we're like, I can do, will do, Lord. Because if I love you more than my family, I'll be able to love my family the way I should anyway, right? And so Jesus says there in Luke chapter 14, if you come to me and you don't hate your father and mother, and your wife and your children, and your brothers and your sisters, yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't love me more than anyone else, you can't follow me. You can't walk in my ways. The ways of Jesus are going to require each and every one of us at some point or every single day to say out loud, or like Steve said this morning, to look in the mirror and say, I love Jesus more than me. I love Jesus more than my spouse. I love my spouse a lot, but I love Jesus more. I love Jesus more than my kids. I love Jesus more than my parents. I love Jesus the most, and that's the only way that I'll be able to follow Jesus. Because if I allow the love of anyone else to get in between me and Jesus, what's going to happen? I'll start building, but I won't finish the project. Something will take me away. And so Jesus uses this story, and he says, you have got to count the cost. When you become a follower of mine, you have to understand that what I say is the direction of your life. That what I give to you, that is your purpose for being. And if you're going to follow me, you can't just say, well, you know, I'd like to follow you when it's convenient. Or, you know, let me just get through this chapter of my life and then I'll follow you. Jesus dealt with those people as well. Remember those stories? But Jesus, I want to follow you. Just let me, you know, finish up the business at home. Or I'm on board, Lord, but you know, I got to bury somebody. I got to take care of even, you know, a difficult situation. And Jesus looked at him and said, you can't. You can't follow me when you're worried about all these other things. And so the first thing Jesus says to us, if we are going to actively pursue him, we must renounce ourselves. We must, in comparison with Jesus, consider it nothing. I have to consider myself nothing in comparison to Jesus. I have to consider even the things closest to me. You notice this wasn't a teaching where he says, sell all your stuff or get rid of it. It's your possessions, it's your this or it's your that get in the way. He said, no, it's the people closest to you that are going to cause this to be a struggle. So you must renounce. You must say, I love Jesus more. It is not Jesus or. It's Jesus is more. So the first thing that we have to do, we'll go back to chapter 9. If we are going to actively pursue Christ, we are going to deny or renounce ourself. The next thing, point number 2, he says, you must take up your cross daily. You must take up your cross daily. Now, this idea And for them, of course, especially once they receive the written gospel, they have already seen Jesus do this himself. When he is speaking these words, they haven't seen him do this. But by the time we receive these words, we're kind of far from it. So we have to rehear, what does this actually mean? To take up your cross. The Romans used crucifixion to kill lawbreakers. And again, you remember the guys that were on either side of Jesus? The Bible just said they were thieves. Okay? But we know that thieves and murderers and terrorists and all these bad people that had to be put down by the Roman government, they did the same thing that they tried to make Jesus do, and that was from the jail or your cell all the way up to the place of execution, you would bear your cross. That is, you would be trotted through the streets of town carrying your own tool of destruction. That crossbar that they would hang you on and drive the nails to hold your hands in place, you would walk through town carrying that thing yourself. And so it was not only, wow, the realization of how serious the situation you're in right now, of this is it, I'm about to die. It was also the shame of having to go through your neighborhood and your town and everybody coming out to see, hey, what's the hubbub? What's going on out there? Oh, there's Michael. What is that? They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. He's carrying his own cross. And Jesus comes to us and he says, look, if you are going to actively pursue me, you are going to have to get up every single day and pick up the instrument of your own execution to walk in my steps. Now, church, what does that mean for you and I? I'm not going to take away the seriousness of what that means for you and I. What Jesus is saying, that as you live your life, and you go to church, and you go to school, and you go to work, and you're with your family, they can all clearly see what you are carrying, and how you are living, and where you are headed. It is clear that your life has been renounced, that your life is not of importance to you, but you have died to yourself, and you are living for Jesus Christ. When you saw someone taking up their own cross through the towns of whatever town that Jesus passed through, there was no question of what was going on. Right? You saw that. You saw them carrying that big piece of wood. Oh, I know what this is. That's what Jesus is saying to us, church. If you are going to actively pursue me, it must be clear as a bell what you were doing, where you were going, and who you are following. You don't have to tell them. They can see it. They can see it. So he says every single day, you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to die to yourself. You've already renounced yourself. You've already said, hey, I belong to Jesus. I'm nothing. I'm nothing compared to him. He is my everything. And now I've taken up my cross, and it is evident to everyone else. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul helps us, or puts us in better words. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. Galatians 2:15 says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Well, certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So the Apostle Paul puts words that we can understand with this and lets us know to actively pursue Jesus, to take up our cross, we must understand when we became Christians, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We said, look, I know that me following the rules is not going to give me a pass to heaven. It doesn't work like that. So what do I have to do? I still want the pass to heaven. Great. You have to have faith in the Son of God who came from heaven, lived a life, came to completion, and died in obedience on the cross, paying the price for all of my sin, guilt, and shame. And now I'm looking to him and trusting that God looks at Jesus and says, I am satisfied, and whoever believes him, I will save. So now it's no longer this life that I live. I have been crucified with Christ, so it's not about me. What is it about? It is about Jesus living in me. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that is going to get me out alive. And that's the only thing that the rest of the world needs to see. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me. Good news is, it's no longer me. The bad news is, it's no longer me. Does that make sense? You get what I'm throwing out there? Okay. All right, good. If I need to explain, I will. It's no longer my sin that God holds against me, but it's no longer my wants and desires that are now being fulfilled in the flesh. Just so we're all there. Church, because we are crucified with Christ, Jesus calls us to actively pursue him by putting ourselves in his sandals as he went to Calvary. Putting ourselves in his shoes. Our lives become a reenactment of his death for everyone in our lives to see. Daily. That means every day. Every day get up. Every day get up. And I am going to look and I'm going to say, you are loved. I am loved. And I'm going to trust the love that God has for me. How do I know his love? He sent Jesus to do this for real. And now he has called me to do this in a spiritual sense of obedience. So every single day I have to remember, I can't leave the house, I can't get in the car, I can't have an interaction, I can't have a conversation, I can't do anything as me, because it's no longer me, it is Christ who lives in me. Now, this may be some of the struggles that I had this week, because I may have fallen into some bad habits of talking and dealing with people as just me. And now that I am crucifying myself and I am now trying to interact and talk and serve and live and love others as Jesus in me, as in actually putting their needs above my own, as actually considering what would benefit them and not me, I'm getting a little uncomfortable. I'm struggling. It's a fight. It's a fight, and all the fight does is it reveals to me the parts of my heart that I have not crucified to Christ. It reveals to me the parts of me that are still trying to live and fight for air and real estate right here. And Jesus says, you have got to get up every single day, pick up your cross. You got to remember every single day, it's not me, it's Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And again, apply that to your situation, to your life. Apply that to how well you're going to love those in your family. Apply that to how well you're going to worship Him this morning. Apply that to how you're going to serve your boss or your customers or your students or your administration, whatever, whatever. Apply that. It's not about me. Because if I just go to school and to work and I'm with my family and all my family sees is me, I am not actively pursuing Jesus. If they don't see Jesus, I'm not doing it right. There's too much of me and not enough of Him. And the third one, back to Luke chapter 9. The third point that he says, you've renounced yourself, you've taken up your cross, and he says, follow me. Follow me. Church, we cannot actively pursue something we're not actually following. Now, let's put this in context and let's better understand this in our situation. You know what it means to follow. We're all followers. And we all follow way too many things. Right? Think about the accounts of the people that you follow just on social media. Think about just, oh, hey, they posted something. I gotta give it a thumbs up. Or I gotta throw out a praying hands. Or we're thinking about you. You and I actively follow tons of people. Probably more than Jesus. You know what it looks like to actively follow. Like, ooh, I wonder if they put something. You're excited. I just want the ding of my phone. I'm excited. I want to hear from them. What's going on in their world? What do they got going on today? Or what's the latest news? Or what's the update? We know what it means to actively follow. We're just not doing it with Jesus. You and I are all actively following. We are pursuing other people. We're pursuing information from other sources. How long has it been since you were that excited about what God had to say for your life? Jesus says, follow me. Actively pursue me. Not just, oh, okay, yeah, I should still be a good person this week. Nice goal. That's good. Can we go to lunch now? We are pathetic. We are pathetic. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm pointing the finger, but y'all are sitting really close. Actively following. Giving just the same energy that we put into... I mean, think about the podcasts I listen to. Oh, have they dropped another episode yet? Because if they have, I want to... That, give me something to listen to on the way to work, right? I'm actively following. What do they got to say? What's going on? What's the news? What is it? What's the latest? I got to have it. I got to have it. Church, we have got to stalk Jesus like the people we do on social media. I mean it. We got to stalk Him like that with that same energy and that same fervor. What has He got to say? What has He got going on? Because I know it's the best thing and I want to be there. I am actively pursuing Jesus. We know how to be faithful disciples. We know how to be faithful followers. We've just got to check and make sure that we're serving the right master. So two quick ones. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus said, this is how we'll know. Hey, in John's Gospel, when Jesus tells us to abide, what have we learned that means? That Greek word abide, what does that mean? To be with, to live, to make your home there, to set up camp. When he says abide, that means like, this is where we're at. This is not a pit stop. This is it. This is it. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, the active pursuers of Jesus Christ, make their home in His Word. If you and I are going to actively pursue, follow Jesus as closely as possible with the energy and fervor that we do of lesser things, we have got to make our home in His Word. We got to live there. We got to live there. We have to have more of it. We've got to hear it constantly. We have to be surrounded by it. I mean, we got it. How many of you wallpaper your Facebook feed with encouraging things and verses from the Bible? I mean, I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I'm just saying, think of the idea of surrounding yourself with God's Word wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, it may be a sticky note on that mirror in the bathroom. It may be one in the car. It may be the, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get all worked up about what's going on in the world of politics today. I'm going to listen to praise music to face my day. It's whatever. It is make your home in God's Word. Live there. Live there. So you don't get carried off, so that you don't start serving another master. And before you know it, you're walking and you're not following Jesus. You are not actively pursuing Him. You're just kind of, yeah, He's there. He's there. Jesus is not going to settle for that. He's not going to settle for just being there. We must abide in His Word. So disciples of Jesus make their home in His Word. And then go over to chapter 13. Chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So if we are going to actively pursue Jesus, if we are going to be His disciples, we got to make our home in the things that He says. I can't make that decision without hearing from Jesus. I can't take a step without knowing where to go from my master. That's what disciples do. We don't make our own decisions. We follow His decisions. And then Jesus says, after washing their feet, Jesus says, you're going to be my disciple if you love each other. You're really going to be my disciples if you love each other. Easy said, right? Oh, Lord, I love all your people. Love them all. But what did He do in John's gospel in this chapter? He took off His outer garment and He put the towel around His waist. And He did the job of a house slave. And He washed their feet. I mean, they protested. No. No, you don't have to do that. Yes, I do have to do this. You ever have to get pushy with your love to other people? You ever have to insist to serve them in a good way? No, you don't have to do that. Yes, I do. No, we're fine. We'll take care of that. No, I'm doing this. We know what that sounds like, what it feels like, and yet Jesus didn't quit, did He? He said, no, you don't understand. If I don't do this, we don't have a part together. We're not close unless you allow me to serve you. Church, that's how we have to love each other. We're not really close unless we serve each other. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always pretty. But that's what the followers of Jesus do. That's what it looks like. And it may look different from how you and I have been spending our time. And that's why, again, that's why I say I love New Year's. New Year's is a good time. At least our brain for just a couple days is thinking about, how do I need to be different this year? How do we need to be different this year? What does it need to look like? What does my faith need to look like? Actively pursuing. I will not do it without my heart being filled with the joy of the Lord. Because I'm not going to wash feet and go, ooh, I'm going to wash feet until I'm happy, right? Did your parents ever tell you that one? The beatings will commence until the attitude changes? Yeah. I'm like, boy, I'm gonna serve other people until I just fall in love with them. That's not going to happen. I got to love them, and then I'm just going to serve them. We begin with the joy of the Lord. We begin with the joy of the Lord because Nehemiah 8:8 says that's our strength. Our source of strength is the joy of the Lord. I am so thankful for what God has done for me that I am willing to renounce myself, every day pick up my cross, and follow Jesus. So, nice and easy today. Nice and simple anyway. Easy and simple. Two different things. All right, church, I do understand where this year and this direction should take us. And I'm pretty sure that we're not going to be able to sit here comfortably and do this on our own without each other. So, again, this time, the invitation, it's going to become a very comfortable place. The smallest of things, I need prayers. You need prayers. We got to communicate. We got to be together. We got to be on the same page. Because feet are not going to get washed if we don't change. You and I are going to get comfortable. We're going to find a rest stop. And we're going to stop short of our goal. And we're going to forget what it costs to actually follow Jesus. We need each other to do this. We need each other to be an effective body of believers to do the work that God has called us to do. All right? So, if you're feeling low, you've had a hard time seeing the joy of the Lord, you need prayers, you need encouragement, you just want to be an encourager, whatever, whatever. Okay? And maybe we need to confess, maybe we need to confess sins. Maybe we need to clear it out. It's a new year. It's a new day. I hope it's a new us. Because old us has gotten kind of lackadaisical. Is that how you pronounce the word? Lackadaisical. Yeah. We just got kind of, And I'm not calling anybody specific out. I'm here. I know. I see. You do too. I'm just ready to admit it. I'm ready to admit it. All right? So if you need anything this morning, respond and we're here with you. Okay? If you need to put your faith in Christ and you need to begin the journey and you need to be saved from your sins, that's available as well. So if you need to respond in that direction, we'll help you there as well.